The dork you grew up with on radio for 40 years is now in a tidy digital place. Doc on Demand, where you pick the topics, then you be on the dang podcast. Live now in the Eagle app.
It's another episode of Doc on Demand. It's the show in podcast form. Thanks for hanging out. Another episode. Two of my favorite people in Quincy. I think there's a lot of people that would call these guys their favorite people in Quincy. Travis Hoffman, Chris Ketters, also known as Wild Quincy. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. So you guys were kind enough to have me on your podcast when I first came back into town, and I'll share it here. You guys are partially responsible for me on the Eagle because of that video you shared. Remember, it was it was, I think, last spring, a spring before last, the old Y101 TV commercial that Dennis Oliver and I did for the Cardboard Boat Regatta. You guys kind of started that.
You've made us very careful what we say on the podcast. We can summon things now. So.
You can.
Yeah.
Christy Brinkley, are you listening? So the fun thing is you guys have, so how long now? Because you did The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Wild Quincy. How long have you guys been doing your...
Yeah, Chris is the Lost Boys. I don't want to take any credit for that. But yeah, speak to
that. So we started Lost Boys in 2018, and that just became such a huge thing. And one of the things that kind of talking about how we got going is, as I was doing research for Lost Boys of Hannibal, which is, again, another podcast, I started finding all this crazy stuff about Quincy. Yeah. And finally got to the point where I was like, man, I got to do a Quincy podcast eventually. And so we were actually ironically doing a live stream on Facebook one night for Lost Boys of Hannibal. And somebody gets on there and starts making a bunch of jokes. Yeah.
Who could that possibly be?
Yeah, it's funny. I just got on there, and I like to play the kid at the back of the English class, making wisecracks, but not being mean about it. But we were all having fun. Everybody was having fun. Yeah. They were encouraging me subconsciously, and then Chris decided, hey, maybe a podcast might be an interesting thing to do on Quincy history. Mm-hmm. I'd done a lot of digging on Quincy history. I ran a blog called Q-Town in the area early, kind of when Facebook was just getting popular in the area. So there was a lot of organic viral popularity because of that. And so my day job's in marketing, so I have a lot of, just ancillary tasks between the both of us. We're pretty handy on all kinds of media. And so we just thought, well, let's give this a shot. So I kind of gathered some of my notes. We did some brainstorming on topic ideas. And boy, before we knew it, we had a list of, 80, 90, yeah. And it's growing. And we were off to the races.
Yeah. But it was a fun conversation when you guys were kind enough to have me on as we were reliving some of the glory days of some of the great concerts in the area at the casino and Hannibal Riverfront and everything. And it seriously was the video that you guys shared. That's when my phone started to ring when the Eagle was about to be born. It's like, hey, would you be interested in actually coming back home and doing this? So thank you guys. It's just tons of fun.
Well, we're glad to have you back, man.
So thank you. We're getting in trouble on a daily basis. So I'm curious with Wild Quincy, because as Travis said, he had his blog and did a lot of digging on history. Is there like a process that you guys go through to decide, hey, here's a topic we're going to tackle?
Yeah, so we have it broke down into different categories. We have four different categories. We have we have time and place. We have a crime one, which is always popular. We've done an unexplained one before.
We've kind of brought in a couple different miscellaneous topics over the last three seasons. Recently, a what if category. You may have mentioned it, and then people just highlighting different people.
Yeah,
but it kind of we have to take a look at what topics we have and kind of cater to what categories fit best. So sometimes we'll rotate that categories out just to make things interesting.
I got to give you guys credit because I also look for weird stuff. And and you guys have yet to not like make my jaw drop where I'm like, wow, I had not heard that.
Yeah,
I think we all are kind of closet Bigfoot fans. Yeah. Maybe not even in the closet. So I think we're all skeptical but very interested in those kind of odd things. And I think everybody's got a little curiosity into the weird, but we try to keep it more mainstream too.
Well, and on top of that too, we also kind of keep things of things that we've always been curious about, and it's given us an advantage to, like, for example, we did an episode just a few months ago about the underground caves here in town. And it's like, we never got to really they were called mines, but we never got to explore those. And so then we actually got the opportunity to go into the mines and check it out and see what it's like there. So it's given us kind of a adventure into the history of us being able to find stuff to be able to find the info about.
It's the interesting thing about a small town, which I think Quincy still is. If you really want to find something out, it's not that hard to do it. And most people are more than happy to chat about a topic. And I mean, like to Chris's point, we winded up in the mine down there. And it's just wild if you really put forth the effort. We encourage everybody to like dig into the history because it's very accessible.
We're just happy we haven't had any concrete shoes placed on us yet.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting about the mines because before you guys dug into that, I had it wasn't exactly that, but there's been this. It's almost like there's a reality, and then people they embellish it, mm-hmm. you know, with legends because there was a story that some of the mines under Quincy might be connected to a national underground tunnel thing, like the government was running.
Yeah.
You know, where they're preparing for the end of days or something. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Well, and it's actually funny you should bring that up because one of the recent episodes that we just did a few weeks ago was on what if the world ended. And we got into that and we actually talked about that and came across a 1971 Quincy Herald Whig article talking about how that if the people outside of Quincy, if there's a nuclear bomb, they go to the underground mine. So it all connected back together.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, so you were telling me you guys are nearing the end of another season. Any teaser about what you got cooked up?
Well, we're working on more people. We got a people episode to finish our season out. So we got a guest coming in that we're really excited about. And then we get a break, actually, for a little bit. So we've been going. This is our third season. And then we'll start back up fresh and new in season four.
So what is there like what's the best case scenario for Wild Quincy? What are you guys hoping to – where do you want to see the podcast go?
Well, I mean, when Chris and I started this, we really didn't know where to set the bar because we both listen to a lot of podcasts. And for the most part, podcasts aren't really associated from a hyper-local scenario. And that's why I love what you're doing now, Doc. But so we didn't really – it's hard to measure success from a hyper-local level.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have a lot of accessible tools in promoting yourself. And I think our idea was to kind of get a network of we call them Wild Things or Patreon supporters that pay a few bucks a month and they get access to a whole off season of episodes. Kind of every other week we have a live and a recorded episode for just our members. And now we're able to sustain the cost of our hosting. So I mean we're not paying anything to do it anymore, and you have a little left at the end of the day to invest back into events we can put together for our patrons and just have a real face-to-face contact that you started just from these internet sound waves going on, mm-hmm. what I mean?
Isn't it great how you build this as a relationship with the audience? And I know I have no doubt you guys have had this happen where you'll go into a store and somebody will recognize you and you've never met them before. But they've hung out on your podcast every week. They feel like they know you.
Literally yesterday, I was at a thing in Hannibal for Lost Boys. We were something for folklore. And I was saying, just going in to check in, say, hi, I'm checking in. And the lady in the other room goes, oh, my gosh, that's Chris. I know that voice. I went, oh, there it is. So and I've had that happen in the DMV and all these places were like, oh, I know your voice. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy that and you know that, too. I'm sure you've had that happen, too. But it's crazy when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and on the radio, I can tell people it used to be where I could tell people I look like Mel Gibson and they didn't know the reality, the terror of what I really look like.
I don't know. I can see it. I can see it now.
Only in a carnival mirror, maybe.
I'm a little blind, but I mean, I can see it.
My wife is too. Imagine that. What a coincidence. So, I can't remember what year it was, but maybe 10, 15 years ago, I started Skyping with one of the TV stations, with KHQ actually, when they had the morning show. And and then people then knew what you look like.
Yeah.
And then that's a total game changer.
Yeah.
So Travis is a Renaissance man.
Yes, he is.
I've been called worse, I guess.
I follow his adventures on Facebook with a lot of the video work he does. And then I didn't realize when I was on the podcast with you guys before that you are also a musician, sir.
Yeah. I played for a long time in high school. Then life kind of got crazy around college and next thing I know, I got a couple kids, and they're finally out of diapers, and I have a little time to myself in the evening. So, yeah, I play guitar and sing. I'm kind of getting back into songwriting. I do a little bit of everything. I've been playing around a lot in the last year or two, just kind of wineries and some, a couple two-hour sets, just acoustic shows. And it's one of my many hobbies that I'm trying to find more time for all of them. But, it's great to kind of get back into the local music scene. I've been appreciating hearing all the local music you've had on here. And it's just great to have that outlet, in venues in Quincy, as well as the radio is definitely kind of the roots of where things used to be at, and it really went away for a long time. And you're you know positioning yourself to help promote that is huge. So thank you. And
No. Well, the reason I started doing this is back in the olden days. You know, I started doing this 40 years ago, and when, you know, it used to be that you could make a real impact for local bands. And let's face it, now it's a lot harder for a band to you know, because a lot of the music is it comes from, you know, higher places, so it's harder for a local band to actually get exposure. And I thought, well, let's change that. Let's go back to the good old days. So, and if it's okay with you, I'm gonna embed one of your videos in our app so people can hear the musical Travis doing his thing.
I can tell you, he does some stuff on Facebook every once in a while. It's real cool on his Facebook page. And I was on listening one night, and I was like, bust out some Stevie Ray Vaughan. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. And the next thing he hears, and he nailed it. So he's good. He's awesome on the guitar.
So have you ever done the band thing, or have you just been a freewheeling artist?
In high school, but it's so much. It's a lot of work, and I give so much props to those guys that are out there doing like 4-hour setups and sound checks.
Yeah.
Where I can show up an acoustic set and, you know, 30 minutes and dialed in and ready to roll. And it's the easy way out. It really is. But there's nothing like that collaborative effect. And I'm trying to maybe go down that road in the future. We'll see.
Yeah. Chris and Travis from Wild Quincy with us. So once you guys get some time off and you face next year, any big goals for the podcast and your all's adventures?
You know, we've just keep building, and it's been amazing. And I was just bringing this up in our Patreon episode, just that we put them out for our Patreon members at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. And by 6:30, 6:40, we're getting messages already about something that's going on within that episode. So it's so amazing on how quick that we get responses and stuff. And so the support we've got has just been amazing. And if you haven't checked it out, it's not only about just history, but it's also about the stuff you've always wondered about Quincy. If you've been interested in Quincy, if you know, just love Quincy in general, and you want to find out more, you know, that's the place to go. And that's what Travis has always done, is that's why we've enjoyed doing it. So
that's been one fun thing on the radio side with our app, is now we're really a global, seriously global brand, even though our focus is here in Quincy and Hannibal. But I'll get messages from somebody in Finland, like, yeah, really love the classic rock, yeah. And so maybe we can help Wild Quincy reach into the Scandinavian countries. I'm thinking that they're just like Conan O'Brien, real big in Sweden. I think maybe we could make this happen for you guys.
It is interesting. Obviously, on the digital front, you have so many tools to see where your downloads are coming from. I have some friends in Israel. And so your random places on the globe start popping up, and we're close to all 50 states. Alaska is eluding us in Maine. Alaska and Maine. So if you guys, if you're out there listening to Alaska and Maine, we'd appreciate you heading over to wildquincy.com and just giving that old play button a click or two and getting us on the map there.
Hey, pro tip, if you'd like some listeners from Burma, do something on a snake.
On a snake?
Because I had an article about a snake, Snake Road, recently. Oh. The one in Illinois, the one they have to close the highway down for a month for the poisonous snakes to cross. And I noticed that we were getting a lot of people from Burma, and I'm like, what's up with that? So I did some research. They consider snakes sacred in Burma. So if you do anything on snakes, Wild Quincy will be number one in Burma.
Well, I tell you, our South American audience, we get a lot of hits. We did an episode, it might have been the first season, on a really sad tale about this this woman who was lived around Ursa named Rhoda Derry, and she was hexed by witches in her mind, and the whole family, it really affected her because her own family came from a witchcraft background. And this poor lady descended into madness and suffered all these horrible treatment in the mental hospitals, and it's just a horrific tale. And I won't get all the details, but we get so many hits on our website because of that from South America. And I don't know what the connection is there, but boy, you can count on it every month. You never know when you start putting stuff out there.
You guys could be kings in Costa Rica. Well, you know, it can happen.
We'll
I can
take
see
whatever
this.
We can get.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to come in and hang. I appreciate it.
It's
kind of funny. I was just thinking that this is almost like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer wanted to make a coffee table book about coffee tables. This is a podcast about a podcast. So let's just go even deeper. Before we wrap this up, what is the favorite podcast that you guys each have that isn't you?
Wow.
I'll break the ice.
Yeah.
Nate Bargatze, who's a comedian, does Nate Land. He's a real funny guy. He's got a couple of Netflix specials. He's like my go-to. He's one of my go-to podcast guys. So that's mine.
Okay, I'll start.
Yeah, please.
Anything by Aaron Mankey? He does a lot of good stuff, Cabinet of Curiosities, and bunch of webs, different podcasts, and I'm more into the supernatural kind of aspects, and he does a really good job of creating a picture of the mind, if you will, when you're listening to his podcast.
Gonna have to look him up.
Yeah,
he did a design productivity podcast that I listened to before he became the lore guy. And anyways, no, I got a big man crush on this podcaster named Matt Gourley. He's in California, and he runs with a lot of the L.A. crowd. He's kind of under the way. He co-hosts the Conan O'Brien podcast, but that's just a small feather in his existing hat. He's a very funny guy and all kinds of different things he does, and I'm just a fan. He's another one of those true Renaissance mans, and not just like me who shakes their head occasionally.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I'll make sure I hook everybody up with your Patreon and your podcast links in our app so we can continue to tell the story. I've told these guys that I have this dream that sometime on the Eagle we'll find a way to get Wild Quincy on the radio.
That'd be awesome.
I think that needs to happen. I mean, figure out technically how to do it just
we're
yet.
Ready
but
for
it's,
you,
but
Doc.
It's a goal. Well, anyway, guys, thanks so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Doc on demand. No rules. No rails. No kidding. Now, in the 100.9 Eagle app, you've been warned.